Bible is the word of Almighty God. Therefore, it does not need to be defended, only understood. The purpose of this program is to present to you, our viewers, the key to understanding the Scriptures. There is within the pages of the Bible itself a God-given design for studying the Bible. All the confusion that exists within Christianity today is the result of two failures. Number one, ignoring God's design for Bible study, and number two, failing to believe what the Bible actually says. We remind you of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 5:18, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall abide forever." We're instructed in Romans 3:4, "Let God be true, but every man a liar." We are informed by 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And as well, God tells us how to study His Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." That's God's design, rightly dividing the word of truth. Not according to your liking, not into verses you want or don't want to obey, but making distinctions where God makes distinctions. Obeying that portion of the Bible that is specifically addressed to us today. Now, here is our teacher.
"For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." Hi, my name is Carl Trimboli, and I'm here again this week to go through the Scriptures and find out where we fit into the Scriptures. Where do we take our doctrine and our walking instructions and the way that God would have us to worship Him? Where do I go to my Bible to find all this information? And I know there's a lot of information here, and it's all come from God, but where and what do I take? And that's what we've been going through. If you were in tune last week, we went through something called the Old Testament and looked briefly at what the Old Testament was and who gave it through, that God gave it through Moses to the nation of Israel, and that they needed to keep that covenant or that testament to be blessed above all the nations of the world. The nations we saw were the Gentiles. And this week, what we're going to pick up, what we started to talk about last week, was the New Testament. The New Testament was something different from the Old Testament, although it still incorporated the Jew, the nation of Israel. And so they had to still follow what the Lord had to say as a nation. And the Lord, at the Last Supper in Luke chapter 22, He said, "This is the New Testament in my blood." It was not until the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and He shed His blood that the New Testament actually began. Although even in Matthew, the early parts of Matthew chapter 3, where they said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That was the beginning, the proclamation or the prophecy that the New Testament was now being instituted by the Lord. And it was the Lord who was the minister of the New Testament. The Old Testament was given to Israel. The New Testament also, we saw in Jeremiah 31:31, was also given to the nation of Israel. And so that we see who the Lord is speaking to. If He says, "I'm giving this to the nation Israel," who are Jewish people, then he's not giving it to the Gentiles. He's giving it to the Jew. So what, as a person today, I have to understand that I'm not a part of the nation of Israel, and that God's not dealing with me as He was dealing with the nation of Israel back in these days. And so what we're going to do is we're going to follow on and see why I say something like that. I'm not here to confuse you. I'm here to help you understand a book that's called the Bible, that's God-breathed, it's called Scriptures. And everyone can get a copy of this here. You can have a copy. If you've got one at home, pick it up and open up to the book of Romans. We'll start off maybe in the book of Hebrews, where we'll pick up our study and go on. But I'd like you to be able to understand this book on your own, where you can pick it up, teach it to your children, understand it for yourself, and know for surety what God wants you to do. So if we go back to the book of Hebrews, we'll pick up with our study from last week. There's so much information that a couple of television broadcasts just simply can't do God's Word justice. So we pray that we can keep time going here. Hebrews chapter 8, and it says in verse 6, "But now hath He obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much more He is the mediator of a better covenant which was established upon better promises. The covenant before was the old covenant. Jesus Christ came on. He was born of a virgin, walked in Jerusalem, and taught people there and had disciples. And he taught people about the New Testament, the New Covenant. And it had better promises, and it was established on better promises. And it says he was the mediator of that New Covenant. Verse 7 says, "For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second." Here's the first covenant, or the first testament, we can call it, and here's the New Testament, or the New Covenant, that was promised. So we know that Jesus Christ came and he established the second. But the first, it says, if the first covenant had been faultless, then you wouldn't have had to make the New Testament. You would have had, the Old Testament would have been fine. Why did God change that? It says in verse 8, "For finding fault with them," not God's instructions, "finding fault with them," the people, "he saith, before the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them out of the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord." It goes on to say, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, I will write it in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." So here's something that's new. This was not heard of back in the Old Testament. It was prophesied. What we found last week, we saw briefly a division of Old Testament and New Testament. Under the Old Testament, Israel, God said, if you do something, then I'll bless you. And if you don't, then I'll curse you. So what happens is Israel had to do something. So they were instructed and they had to do it. Otherwise, they were cut off from the nation of Israel. They were no longer blessed within the nation. So what God says, I find fault with those people. It said right there. So what he needs to do now is he's going to make another promise to them, and something that he is going to cause them to do. He's going to put his laws, let me read the verse again. He's going to put his laws in their minds and in their hearts. It said, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel." You're not in that blessing. That's the nation of Israel, what he's talking about right here. I'm not in this verse. "After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds, and I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people," because right now they're not, and one day they will be. But God is doing something here. The Lord is doing something here. It's called prophecy. And what happens here, prophecy and mystery is going to be one of the major divisions in your Bible. Not so much the Old Testament and New Testament, although that is a division, and it's important to see that division. But the main division where people get confused and all kinds of different doctrines come out is when you start to mix the two together. And I haven't shown you this part yet. We'll get to this part. But I want you to see what God calls prophecy. And he says, "After those days, saith the Lord, that I will do these things." God said he will do it. So at a certain time, God is going to do something with the nation of Israel, and that will be on the other side of this. Let's see what happened here to the New Testament. If these things are to Israel, where in the world do we fit in? If we're not in the Old Testament, and the New Testament is promised to the nation of Israel, where do I go? So let's look at some verses here, and let's let the Scriptures talk. It says, and let's finish up in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. We read that one. Let's go to 11. It says, "And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness and their sins, and their iniquities I will remember no more. And that he saith, A new covenant hath he made, the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxes old is ready to vanish away." That which is old and wax, that which is waxing old, which is growing old and decayeth, is ready to vanish away. The Old Testament is fading out, and the New Testament is coming in, is what it says here. So even instructions that are written down in the Old Testament You know something? I get instruction here that says this program and this operation and this jurisdiction is dying out and I shouldn't follow it. These people shouldn't follow that. You know that? Because that's what the Bible says. This operation is fading out and this one's coming in. In Matthew chapter 10, I need to explain one thing before we get to the mystery part there. Matthew 10, as a Gentile was, or the nations were, in these days back here and in here, we're going to look at this. Since we know this is already fading away, since the Bible says, and this is coming in, the New Testament, the Lord said, in my blood, so we need to have the cross here, the New Testament in his blood, we're looking at where we fit in. But I want to show a little bit of contrast where we fit, where we didn't fit in Israel's day. It says in Matthew 10, verse 5, these 12, Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into this any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This is telling me something. This is under the program or the commission of the New Testament. Here, Jesus Christ says, don't go to the Gentiles. That's are the nations. He says, don't go to these guys. But why? This is the majority part of the earth. Israel is the God's favored nation at this time. And he says, don't go to these guys. Why is the Lord saying this? And it says in verse 6, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what he's talking about the New Testament. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, so on. And he's telling them to do all these miraculous things. So what happens is we see Jesus Christ making a division. We said that there's a verse in Scripture that says, in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So as we get to Matthew chapter 10, we find out this is part of the New Testament, and I'm not here. My instructions to live and to worship the Lord are not here. There are parts of the Bible that we can understand that run as a thread all the way through, and if it says in here, fear the Lord, you know what? I'll fear the Lord, because that's something that all generations can do. But when it says here, the Lord says, don't go to the Gentiles specifically, I know he's saying that for a reason. The Lord didn't just say that to hear himself talk. My dad used to say that to me. He says, I'm not just here to hear myself talk, I'm saying something for a reason. So that's what the Lord's doing here. He's talking for a reason. And if words mean anything, I better start believing these words here that God has written down on this page. In Matthew chapter 15, and I'll explain something more about the Gentile in just a minute, it says, in verse 24, it says, but he answered and said, I am not sent. This is Jesus Christ speaking. I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And it talks about, then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And this is the one passage we see where Jesus Christ called the Gentiles down here. He called them dogs. And so that's how the nation of Israel viewed the Gentile. We were less than nothing. But we were not getting the blessings of Israel. They were specifically for Israel. And if a Gentile, or in those days there were Amorites, Hittites, Hivites, Jebusites, all the nations of the earth, if one of those persons from that one of those nations saw the nation of Israel and said, I want their God to be my God, which is the true and living God. If they wanted to join themselves to Israel, that's how they could, that's the only way they could have salvation, was to join themselves, to be circumcised, do all the services that they did, and the washings, the baptisms, the sacrifices. That's how they would attain righteousness to be with God for eternal life. But that was the only way. The rest of it was given to Israel. They had the blessings and the covenants, the Bible says, not the Gentiles. Let's go on now, if in your Bible, turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 9. And we're going to hear something different from the scriptures now in the book of Romans. This book is written by a man named Paul, the Apostle Paul we call him, the Bible calls him. In 9 verse 30, it tells us something. Romans 9 verse 30, It says, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. Now here's the Gentiles, or the Lord called them dogs. They had nothing to do with the nation of Israel unless one wanted to get to the true and living God. They would go to Israel and become as a Jew. We call that a proselyte. But now the Bible says something, and it sounds a little different, that what shall we say? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. If they needed to get to righteousness, and the Gentiles were looking for righteousness, you had to be righteous before you could have eternal life or to be favored in God's sight to receive blessings. And Israel did not do it properly because, wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Israel took, and they were not doing things according to what God wanted by faith, but they took and they started doing the things of the Old Testament and started saying, these things we will do and we will be blessed. And you know what the Bible said? That those things are passing away and becoming old. And Israel didn't seek these things by faith. They started to say that we can do these sacrifices, and I don't really want to go to the temple today, but we're going to bring the lamb for an offering anyhow. And it was with the wrong attitude. They did not do it by faith. They just did it mechanically, or what we call religiously. So they did not attain to righteousness. Verse 33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed, speaking of Jesus Christ. So we saw Israel was not attaining to the law, to righteousness, because they were not seeking it by faith. Chapter 10, verse 1 says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. So the Apostle Paul says they're doing their best to try to attain to righteousness, but they're just doing, and they're not doing it out of knowledge. They're doing it ignorantly. Paul then picks up saying in verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Now this I would put out to you for an example. For they, Israel, is now an example to all of us, because they sought God's righteousness not by faith, but by doing something, by the works of the law. And in verse 4 says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And he's writing this here now to the people to clear up some differences and some confusion. So this in here in Romans chapter 9, we saw Israel was not attained because they sought it by the works of the law, and they did things ignorantly. And if I don't want to be ignorant of God's righteousness or God's rules or what he wants me to do, I have to go to his book to find out what he wants me to do. A little further on is where we get to some real important information in Romans chapter 11. And it says in verse 7, it says, what then? Israel hath not attained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath attained it, and the rest were blinded. Verse 11 says, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Israel did not attain to righteousness that they were looking for. If this lion represented the nation of Israel, it said they stumbled and they fell. So we'll put a stumble and a fall here. That they have not attained to righteousness, that the Gentiles might be saved. That was unheard of back in Israel's day. If the Jews were walking around talking this kind of stuff, they probably would have been stoned because they were not doing things according to the law. Verse 13, the Apostle Paul picks up. Verse 12. It says, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So the fall of them, because they fell, God now opens up salvation to the Gentiles, which were never had promises in the Old Testament. These things were not spoken. They were not prophesied. This was no such thing as prophecy to the Gentiles in the Old Testament. It was to the nation of Israel. These people here had the promises. But you know what? They said, we don't want them. So God says, that's fine. We'll go to the Gentiles. They'll receive it. Let's look on a little bit further. It says in verse 13. Paul says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." So here's an apostle writing these books to us, from the books of Romans to the book of Philemon. He's writing this to the Gentiles. Salvation has gone out to the Gentiles, and you know what? God has included the Jew also. God is so merciful and so wise that he took these people who said, "We won't have you, we won't have you, we won't have you." And he says, well, if you're not going to be, in Romans 2 it explains it. He says, if you want to do things my way under the Jewish program, he says, I'm going to treat you like a Gentile. And you know what? He did them a favor by doing that, because now they can be saved as a Gentile, which is simply by grace through faith. So God opened the door not only to the Gentiles, but the non-believing Jew also, and he gives everybody a chance. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God is not without mercy, and his judgment is just when he passes judgment, because people have heard, and people just don't listen is the thing. But we want to see here is, where do we get our instructions, and why does the Bible say don't be ignorant? And here's the verse that I started out with, for it says in verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." So now is the time of the Gentiles. The time of the Jew, the time of the Old Testament and the New Testament has passed on. We need to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. But you know what? We have those blessings, the spiritual blessings that Israel was promised, forgiveness, redemption, atonement, all these things that God promised the nation of Israel, those spiritual things have passed on to us, Gentiles, now in this time of mystery, or we can label it as a time of the, it's called the dispensation of the grace of God. I have trouble talking and writing at the same time. But here in 2 Corinthians 3 it says, "Who also has made us, Gentiles, able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." The Spirit means the Spirit. It means the spiritual things and the blessings that we would receive. Not the letter, not of the law. It says down in verse 10, "For even that which was glorious had no glory in this respect, by the reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious," that's the Old Testament, and the letter of the New Testament, "much more than which remaineth is glorious, seeing that you have such hope, we use great plainness of speech." And it goes on to say, "But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart." The veil and the blindness of Israel, and that they never wanted the Lord in that time. When they fell, the Lord says, okay, then you won't. But now it's gone to the Gentiles, and so that has vanished, and it's getting old and is vanishing away. In verse 11 it said that. But now where do we fit in? If we go to Ephesians chapter 3, I'll fit in the missing pieces here. It says in verse 1, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word." Moses had instructions for Israel. Paul has instructions for the Gentiles and everyone that would believe today. It says, "How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." It says, in other ages this was not made known. In other words, in other ages, it was called prophecy. All these things that happened to Israel were prophesied from since time began. But Paul comes on the scene and says, these things here, in this time right in here, he said, these were never spoken of in any age before. It says, verse 6, "that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore, I was made a minister according to the gift." Let me scoop down here a little further. Verse 8, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." unsearchable. You can't find them back here in prophecy, and they were not spoken at all by the prophets back here. Paul calls them the unsearchable riches of Christ. We have blessings that Israel didn't have, that they were not promised. But we have everything that they were promised, because we have their, when God says you will have forgiveness of sins, we have forgiveness of sins today. And when he says, I will redeem you, as he did to Israel, we will have redemption today also. It goes to say here in Ephesians 3, verse 9, it says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known that by the church the manifold wisdom of God. These things that the Apostle Paul received by revelation, he says, and he calls it a mystery. And he says it wasn't spoken of before. You know something, where we fit in? We don't fit in Israel's program. We certainly don't fit into the Old Testament, and we don't fit into the New Testament, although we have the blessings of the New Testament, and time doesn't allow us to get into all of that. But you know what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3? He says, we call this a mystery that's unsearchable, and it's not part of prophecy. I can't mix these two programs. If I separate the two programs, I don't have confusion anymore in my Bible study, because I know who's talking to me, why he's talking to me, and what instructions I have, and in what books, and what to follow. Therefore, I don't have these sacrifices and all these ceremonies that Israel had to do. The Bible goes on to say, for forgiveness of sins, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Why don't you do that today?
Thank you for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we hope this program has been enlightening to you. Our desire is to establish your faith upon the truth. Only then will you experience real liberty. The truth shall set you free. If we can be of any further assistance to you, we would love to help you. Or if you would like any of the free literature you see on your screen, you may call or write Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Our phone number is area code 810-778-5032. Once again, that's Grace Bible Church, 13630 Common Road, Warren, Michigan, 48093. Area code 810-778-5032. Thank you for sharing this time with us. Join us again this same time next week to learn more about God's message of grace. Until then, this is Daniel Schulert speaking for all of us at Grace Bible Church, praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe.